Give him a minute to pass the buckets. You have anything profound, Julie? Nothing? Man. You do.
Actually, I do.
Yay.
Actually, when we were, Tyrone's word's so good.
It is so good.
But the scripture that just kept coming to me was, he who's begun a good work in you will bring it all the way to pass. And this year, God's just been dealing with me and just showing me over and over again that before all of this stuff happened, it all started, it was me and God. It was just me and God. A little 13-year-old girl, I gave my life to Jesus. And it was me and him. And then all this wonderful things happened in my life. And, you know, I met David. I had a lot of friends. I had my kids. We started the church. I had a, you know, great bunch of influence God gave me at the other church we were at for so long. All those wonderful things. And then, but life gets so full of pressure, and it can be overwhelming. And then I get my eyes on all of these things that God's done and given. And I forget that before all this, it was me and God. Yeah. That's probably not right grammar, but anyway, it was me and him before all this. And after all this, it'll just be me and him.
Yeah.
And it's the same in all of our lives. All the things that God's given you and he's blessed you with, and some of the stuff that maybe you've done, before all of that, at one point, all of us here, and if you haven't yet, today's the day, had an encounter with God where you met him. And it's you and him. Your relationship with him started. And after all of these things that happened in our life, it'll be you and him. And let that be the anchor for your heart, because the Bible says that he who's begun a good work in you will bring it all the way to pass. So it's God that does the work anyway. And like Tyrone said, we release it and we give it to him, but we get it all messed up in our head that we have to do all these things, or we feel this weird responsibility for things that really we need to release to God and invite God in. And so I just want to encourage you that he's begun a good work, will bring it all the way to pass.
That's good. That's good. That's good, Julie. That's awesome. That's a good word. That's a good word. All right. Amen. You all dismissed. So good. So good. It's right on. It's right on. All right. Praise God. I'm just going to pray for myself. Y'all are welcome to join. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you, God, for the mighty Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us. And Father, I pray, God, as we give out your word, God, that you would speak through me, God. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you're trying to get us to know this morning. And God, I pray that the truths of the word of God would so fill our hearts that, God, we would not be just hearers of the word, but we'd be doers also. And God, we thank you, God. Help us this morning. Help us to hear your word clearly. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 All right. So, back in the day, when I was a kid, I want to tell a quick story. A big thing, like a lot of us. How many of y'all, when you were kids, you were bike riders? Like, you'd ride your bike everywhere. Like, yeah. And for those of you who are under 20, a bicycle is those things. Is those things, not just what people ride on the highways. Let's not get into that. There were two wheels on each side. You had a pedal that you pedaled, and you like went places. Like you went through the woods. You went down the you back in the day. You would go like a mile, 2 miles to your friend's house, and it was no big deal. Like you just did it, right? And you wake up in the morning. Like I would wake up in the morning on a Saturday. And I don't even know if I'd even say hey to my mom, but I would be on my bike and I'd be gone out the door, and I'd be back later that night and figure out something to eat on the way, right? So that was just life, like back then, right? So we had this, and I lived near a park. It was great. It was like a kid's dream. Like I lived near this ballpark, and they had all kind of stuff down there to get to have fun with and get in trouble with. And But on the way to the park, there was this house that was down the street. And this house had two dogs. They are blue tick coonhounds. You might know what a blue tick coonhound. Put the picture up there. These are blue tick coonhounds. Beautiful dogs, right? Gorgeous dogs. And, like, so these were actually friends of mine. There was a guy that was, just leave that up there. So these were friends of mine. And sorry, I knew what you were just saying. Every dog she sees, She says, "That's what Max is. That's not what Max is." Oh, they, we don't even know what our dog is. He's like a mix of like, and Julie's also like, he's like, I think he's part cow too. You know, so there's always, he's part something. We don't even know what he is. So that's a little side joke from in our home. But these are blue tick coon hounds, and they had, and this friend of mine down the street, they had two of them. And these dogs were impressive. Like, I remember there was a ditch in their front yard, and when it would rain, like it's been raining, it would just fill up, and it would fill up, you know, a good, you know, this about this deep. And what those dogs were amazing is that, especially one of them just was able to grab huge rocks, like rocks that are like this big, put his big mouth around it, and like carry it around like a beast. Like, this dog was unbelievable. We would throw those rocks in that water that was this deep, and that dog would bury his head in the water and go after it and pull out that. It was impressive, impressive dog. And so the dogs, and the reason I tell this story is the dogs, they were on my way to the park. I had to pass in front of this house every time I wanted to go to the park, or every time I went out of my house and turned left. Basically, I had to pass these dogs. Well, these dogs are all cute and everything, but one of them was more like this dog. That is a mean blue tick coon hound. That was kind of one of those dogs was more like that dog. And so what I would do is those dogs would always chase me when I went down the street. Whenever I'd cross in front of their house, he would always, that dog would, both, actually both of them, but one was a little more vicious, right, than the other one. And every time, and it was one of those things where I would get on my bike, and I would turn left, and I'd just go, like, try to drive. No, I'd drive really slow, like really quiet, or I'd do really fast. Whatever I could do, so those dogs, and I would always look, you know, look for those dogs. And man, more times than not, those dogs would chase me down the street. And my little 12, 13-year-old self, you know, was going as fast as my little 13-year-old self couldn't push me. I hated those dogs. I hated those, except when we were throwing rocks and they were pulling big spoils. That was pretty cool. But those dogs were always, I hated those dogs. They would always chase me. It was always one of those things. Every time I was trying to do something, you know, go to the park or go hang out with my friends, those dogs would always chase me. And I was thinking about this story when I was preparing my message, and I go, isn't that the way kind of life is? Isn't that the way, like, life seems to be, right? It's like you just try to sneak by without anything happening, right? And like you're just cruising on down the life, your life, and it seems like there's always dogs stirring up. And no matter how much you try to sneak by, those seems like those situations and those things just, and they chase after you, right? Like you finally get $1,000, you know, you're doing the Dave Ramsey plan, right? And you finally get that $1,000, you go, I got that first baby step. That's awesome. And then you need tires for your car. And it takes almost every dime of it anymore. Oh, then there's that Saturday. There's that Saturday where you're like, oh, this is my Saturday. Saturday, whew. I'm going to rest today. I just have it all planned out. I'm not going to do anything. And then maybe your husband wakes up and he says, this is the day we're going to clean the garage. And you're like, no. No, not today. I've been thinking about this day all week. Right? You get that rhythm. You're like, I'm doing exercise. I'm doing it. I'm doing the work. And you're finally in that rhythm of doing exercise. Right? You finally made it. And you kind of push through those first 5 days. And you're in your second week. And maybe you're on your 20th day. And my 21st day, and that's when you know, 21 days, you can make a habit, so they tell you, right? So you're on that 20th day, and you're ready to go, and you're feeling so great about yourself, and then one time you're pushing those weights up, and you pull that, you feel that muscle just pull, and now you're down for, you know, depending on how old you are, you're down for an extended period of time, right? Or maybe you're like my wife and I. You know, we thought our basement was waterproof. Until this last rain. So So we decided we're building an ark in our backyard. Our neighbors are making fun of us, and no. Or just out of random, you and your spouse just aren't clicking. You're fighting. It seems like you're. It's like every time you open your mouth, it's like there's an argument. There's a other people, honey. Not, of course, not us. We don't argue. Or maybe you just out of the blue, you just feel that vibe at work where you're like, I think I'm about to lose my job. Right? Or what about the random thoughts that come? Right? Are my kids living a different life around me? Like, are they really living the life I think that they're living? You know? Is my kid sleeping with their girlfriend? Like all these thoughts, right? No, these are real thoughts. Am I a fraud? Do I have what it takes? All these thoughts that bombard you, right? What do I have to offer to this world? Do I have anything to offer? All these thoughts. Am I an outcast? It just seems like every time you turn around, there's that stupid dog that's yiping at you all the time. And no matter how you try to sneak past, and no matter how you try to run really past, fast past it or whatever, it just seems like there's that stupid dog that's yiping at you all the time. And no matter what you can do, it seems like, can I just get a break? What is going on? What's going on? The secret is, and the truth is, there is something going on. There are things that are going on. The truth is, and what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks, is the truth of the matter. And the title of my message this morning is, let's get in the fight. Get in the fight. The truth is, there is something going on. And we do not live in this world unopposed. And the quicker we can realize that, the quicker we'll make more sense of the world that we live in. That we do not live. The devil takes Jesus up on the hill, right? And he says, look out over all these cities and all these places. And the devil says, if you will just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. I thought Jesus was Jesus. Why does Jesus have to be offered the kingdoms and all this world, right? The Bible calls the devil the god of this world. So if we don't understand these things, like when we process all this information about what goes on in our culture, when you hear about school shootings and all the terrible stuff that goes on in our nation, sin runs rampant in our nation, you go, what is going on? I'll tell you what's going on, we don't live in this world unopposed. Right? And we have to understand, and if we get an understanding of that, boy, it makes things a lot clearer. We live in a world at war. Listen to Paul's conversion story when he's telling his testimony, basically, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. He says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus. At this point, Paul was a persecutor of all the Christians. He says, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, I was on the road and I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Just side note, notice that he wasn't persecuting. He wasn't persecuting the Christians. He was persecuting Jesus. And it's good to know as people, you receive persecution. They're really persecuting Jesus. It says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, and watch this, and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Notice the two opposing kingdoms that Paul talks about in this scripture. He says, I will turn you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that you may receive forgiveness of sin. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom, from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption of our sins. See, there is two kingdoms. Make no mistake, there are two kingdoms. And they wage war against each other. And until Jesus comes, there will be that war. There will be that battle. It's the ancient, like John Eldridge would say this. He says, you know the stories that you love, right? The battle of Middle Earth, right? From Sauron to the hobbits and all the people of Middle Earth, like the good guys and the bad guys, right? And all the stories that we've ever heard. And John Eldridge would say this. He says, we love those so much because they remind us of the world that we live in. There is a war that wages for you, over you. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of our enemy. I used to tell, when I was a youth pastor, it was very common. I was pretty blunt, you know, for teenagers. And I would tell them, look, there is the kingdom of God, right? Sorry, okay, you guys get to be the kingdom of God. I'm just this side, okay? So there's the kingdom of God, right? Sorry, this means nothing. And the kingdom of the enemy, right? There are two different kingdoms. There is not one kingdom. There are two opposing kingdoms. And I would tell those teenagers, and I would tell them, and you would love it, parents, you would love it that I would preach to your kids this way. And I told them, I said, you're either in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of our enemy. There are no middle grounds. Choose this day who you will serve. Right? But we all adults, we have that down already, so I'm not going to preach that to you. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. That's why Jesus in the book of Revelation says, I would rather you be hot or cold, right? But not in the middle ground, right? Not in mediocrity, not in, like, choose who you're going to serve, right? Because there is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. And we have been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus, and only by the blood of Jesus. There's two kingdoms. And I hear, and just another side note, I hear people like get out, they're all upset with like our culture and our world, and I can't believe people do this, and I can't believe people do that. Why can't you? Right? That's just, you know, that's what, you know, we as people of God, we live according to the principles of God's kingdom, right? Ideally, that's what we're supposed to do, is live according to the principles of God's kingdom. If we have no God's kingdom, if that's not important to us, then we're just going to do whatever we want. We're just going to define our own right and wrongs, right? We'll just define our own right and wrongs. We'll just say whatever's right is, you know, well, whatever I think, whatever feels right, that's probably right. Whatever's right for you is right for you. Whatever's right for me is right for me, and leave me alone. Well, they don't understand the kingdoms. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of light. There are two kingdoms. Jesus, as a matter of fact, he came preaching the kingdom. You know, how many times did Jesus look at his disciples and said, the kingdom of God is like, dot, 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 dot. You know? It was like a sower who went and sowed. He was like this. And the kingdom of God is, Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He went so far to say, he would tell the religious people, he'd say, you are of your father, the devil. You know, Jesus meek and mild, you know. Jesus always loving. You are of your father, the devil. Love Jesus. Right? There's two kingdoms. And we're caught, like, right in the middle of this thing that's been going on since before you were born. You were born into this. You ever arrive into a movie late? And you walk into the room? And maybe your family's watching the movie? And I just had several thoughts just passed. You know, how many of y'all you're maybe mostly dad? I think dads do this more. Like, you walk into a room and you stand behind the couch and you're like, what you watching? Like, and you're halfway through the movie and you ask that question, like, so what's going on? You're like, it's halfway through the movie, Dad. I don't do that. But like, you walk into a movie and like it's halfway done and everybody else seems to know what's going on. And you're kind of like, don't you feel like that sometimes in our world? Like there's something going on. There's a whole half of the movie that I've missed. Right? Because all I know is there's a stupid dog that keeps yapping at me every time I try to move forward in anything. So what do we do? What do we do? So I want to put the picture of the mean dog back up. Meanwhile, back of the mean dog. Yeah. So this mean dog would always chase me. And one day, some of you remember Popeye? I've had all I can stands. Can't stands no more. And my little 13-year-old self, the little anger of that little 13-year-old, little curly-headed Dave, saw that dog running, and Dave got off his bike, balled up his little bitty knuckly fist, and he popped that dog right in the mouth, right in the nose. I remember thinking just like he's either going to bite me or this is going to turn out really well, right? And I did. I got off my bike and it's kind of one of those things where I just kind of got off my bike and just boom, in like one motion. And I don't know, I'm a 13-year-old kid. It's probably more like that, you know. But whatever that was, I got him square right in the nose. And that dog yiped and yiped and yiped and ran away. And I don't remember that dog ever chasing me again. That's a true story. You know what you need to do? Sometimes you need to ball up your little knuckle fist, get off your bike, and pop that enemy right in the mouth. I've had all I can stands. I can't stands no more. Like I've had enough. Enough. Some of your testimonies are so great. Your testimonies are like, you know what? I was an alcoholic. I was drinking all the time, or I had drugs, or I had this addiction that I was found. And all of a sudden, something happened in your life. Something happened in your life, and you went, I'm about to lose everything. Yeah. And you went, no. Yeah. And you balled up your fist, and you punched in the nose. So what we need to do, and I'm going to read some scripture, is we need to get into the fight.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, God is my defender. He's the one who fights my battles. This is how I fight my... And God delivers me. And God is the one that... I remember going through some stuff and I would pray, God, help me. God, help me. Sincere. God, help me. And to a degree, that works, right? But I want to read some scriptures. And we'll see how that all plays out. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says this, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now listen to this phrase. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Everybody say, take your stand. That's a me thing, right? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be on alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, unless you didn't know who your enemy was. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know what that word devour means? I look this word up. This word devour means to, like, it's used other places, like to ingest or to swallow. Yeah. Right? It has to do with you, it basically, so that the devil will not swallow you up. That's really the phraseology that's used in the Greek. Looking for someone to swallow you up. Resist him. Now, I do have teachers in this room, and you always know that if there is not a, the you is in front of that, right? Who is supposed to do this? Isn't that right? It's you. You resist the devil, right? She's going to come up after service, and she's going, well, that terminology is this, David. Resist him. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. These are all you, your responsibility. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know why? Because there's the same devil all across the world. Right? Resist him. You resist him. Right? James 4:7. But he gives more grace. That's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Here it is again. Resist the devil. We had Peter talking about resisting. Now we have James talking about resist the devil, and he will flee. Man, those prayers, those sound so good. God, help me. Help me. The Bible says, you resist the devil. Yeah. I remember when I was praying those prayers, the Spirit of God spoke up the inside of me. He said, I already did. I already did. I already did help you, David. I sent Jesus. Now all the authority, Jesus says, has been given to him, and you go, and in my name. And in my name, it's not me. It's not my little bony little fist. It's the weight of the kingdom of God with me, but through the name of Jesus. That I stand and I resist the devil. No, 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 no. You hear me say it all the time. No, 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 no. Not to me, you don't. You think, I'm not even kidding. Like, I'll do this. When stuff goes on, I go, nope, 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 nope. Not to me. Not to me, you don't. That's right. Do you know who I am? I'm a child of the Most High God. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. You may knock me down, but I'm getting right back up. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. And let me just say, look, and let me bring a little clarification, because, man, we Christians are really good at pendulums. Man, we will swing. We learn a new truth. We learn a new truth and we'll go, woohoo, over here, way over here. Right? Man, back in the day, man, people started learning about their authority in Jesus. Man, and we went, wow, there's a demon everywhere. Every single place there's a demon. Demon, demon. You know? I sneezed, demon. Come out. Everything was a demon. You got a spirit of bad breath on you. And Jesus goes, out. No, in, whatever. You have, some of y'all remember those days. Like, there was a demon everywhere, right? And everything was a demon, right? And then some great light showed up, and we learned We learned about inner healing. We learned that sometimes there are things in our backgrounds, there are things in our backgrounds that cause stuff to be in us that we need to get God to heal. Remember, God heals the brokenhearted, right? And he binds up his wounds. Like we talk about, like, and we teach it. We talk about how there's things that happen in your past that put you on a path of hurt and disappointment and woundedness. And it's all true. But man, we Christians, we're back way, everything. And then what happens is if we're not careful, we get a bunch of emoting Christians. Just emoting about everything. Oh yeah, I was wounded. Well, Johnny, when I was in elementary school, he took my Tonka truck away. I've never been the same ever since. Thank you, Jesus, you're healing me. But I really like this pain. But I really like this kind of identifies why I'm where I am. We got to be careful. And we don't have, and let me just say, in our culture, this is rampant. We just identify with our wounds. Let it not so be so among the believers. Because we, as believers, listen, when we learn this stuff, when we learn all this stuff, you know what we can do? Devil, I got you. Yeah. I have pinpointed your place in my life. Yeah. Yeah. I have pinpointed that place for mine for a long time was this. That's good. My mom, who's in heaven, forgive me for telling this story, mommy. But my mom would say this, because I was a terrible student. And my mom would say this, with every bad grade, Dave, you're getting, you're closing doors. Good meaning, and maybe possibly true. Right? With every bad grade, Dave, you're closing doors. But the problem is, you know what this little kid learned? Every time I made a bad grade, clunk, your future's closed. Every time, closed door. You know what that sunk in me? There's closed doors. There's closed doors, David. You'll never really get past a certain level because there's closed doors for you. Was that a wound? Absolutely. Did my mom mean it? No, of course not. Of course not. But it was in me. So I can wallow around in that. Or the Bible tells me that I'm more than a conqueror. That I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That whatever the will is for God, there's nothing that can stand in my way. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Right? So I don't wallow around in that little hurt and wound. I understand, I look at it and go, that's my enemy. That's the problem. That's the enemy that I'm fighting. That's where it came in, and I'm going to show it where to go.
That's right.
Right? So look, we have to be people. Look, you have to get a fight in you. Because some of these things are so in us that they're just natural thinking. They're just natural thinking. Like, you know, you tell your kids, don't say I can't. You know, don't. Because it's true. Because in Christ, I can do whatever God's called me to do. But I'm telling you, it's not going to happen without a fight. It's not going to happen without a fight. It's not going to happen until you put your foot down. And you stand against the enemy that's trying to bring destruction into your life. No, not to me you don't, devil. Not to me you don't. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000... 1,000 my final side, 10,000 my right hand, but it ain't going to come near me.
That's right.
Right? You say, that's arrogant. This is the word. Yeah. Right? The Bible says, if I submit myself to God and I resist the devil, he'll flee. Right? And so, you know, we talk about confession. We talk about confessing the word, and we talk about, how do you do this? Well, I'm not going to talk about it all today. I'm going to talk about it for the next couple of weeks. I believe that this scripture, we're going to go into a little bit deeper, this James 4:7. We're going to read it in a little bit more context next week. But I want to talk about how, you know, you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know what it doesn't only say resist the devil and he'll flee. There's a whole other part. That's 50%. The other part is submitting yourself to God. What does that look like? Well, I've been praying over it, and I've been praying through it. Actually, Joe and I were talking about it this morning. I feel like God's given me some really good revelation about what all that means. Like, it's kind of vague, right? It's just kind of out there. But if you look in the context of that scripture, I think it tells us a little bit better idea what he's talking about. But my thing this morning is, what I want you to get this morning is, develop a fight in you. Right? What do you do? What do you do when you save that $1,000? I'm doing work. Dave Ramsey would be proud of me. You know, I'm working on baby set number two. And all of a sudden, like I said, your car needs, you know, an alternator, which costs evidently like $1,000 now. Like, what do you do? Right? The money's still going to be gone. Yeah. But a lot of it has to do with right in here. Yeah. See nothing. Watch it. See nothing ever. See, I tried to do it. Nothing ever goes right. See, I tried to save that money. I tried to do things right. And I just seem to get hit in the face all the time. You know why? Because there's not one kingdom. There's two kingdoms. And the enemy wants to keep you in your place. Yeah. Remember his vision statement? I don't know if you know the devil has a vision statement. Keeps it in his office behind his desk. And it says, to kill, keel? Can we rewind that tape a little bit? I want to... Keel, he's Southern. He's a Southern devil. He's got a cowboy hat and a little straw. I've lost it. Lost the whole point. Anyway. So, I don't know if you know this, but the devil has a plaque behind his desk. And it says,
we exist too.
We exist. The kingdom of darkness exists. Like Hope Church. The kingdom of darkness exists to kill, to steal, and destroy. To kill,
that's right.
To steal, and destroy.
You got it.
Matter of fact, on this other side, it says this: we have been killing, stealing, and destroying for these thousands of years.
That's right. It's true.
Faithful. Well, one thing the devil is, he's faithful to his calling. He's faithful to his vision. And it's not everybody else, right? It's you.
Yeah, that's right.
And God forbid, not God forbid, God encourage. But what happens is you start moving forward with God. Yeah, we don't tell people that when they come to the altar and give their lives to Jesus. You just got a bullseye on your back. Congratulations. The devil had you where he wanted you. Now you're out of his kingdom and now he wants you back. Right? We have an enemy. There are two kingdoms. And we have to stand our ground. Should you pray, God help me? Absolutely. Please pray, God help me. But listen to me. There needs to come a time where you put your foot down and go, not anymore. Not anymore. So what do? You submit yourself to God. You resist the devil. And he'll flee. All I want you to know, we do in our messages, whenever I'm struggling with, what do I want? My wife always comes and goes, David, what do you want him to know? And what do you want him to do? So this morning, what I want you to know is there's a kingdom that's opposing you. That you live in a world and you live it opposed by an enemy. What I want you to do, I've had all I can stand. Can't stand no more. When your basement gets flooded, you know what? I don't know. All I see is water, God, but you're faithful. I know you're faithful.
Yeah.
And all I don't know about you, you know, some of you guys, I saw that water, all I saw was, I might as well saw dollar signs.
That's right.
Just all over my floor. You know? Yeah, there's all of our savings floating all the way. Here it goes. I want you to know that there's a kingdom that is against you. I want you to know that you have the power in Jesus' name to stand against the enemy. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. And it's a lot more, let me just give you a preface. It's a lot more than just quoting scripture. It's a lot more than just speaking out God's word, which is important and vital to your standing up. But there's a whole nother part that we have brushed by. I mean, any of you have ever heard this teaching? Think about all the times that you heard. I'll say this and I'll close. Think about all the times that you heard this scripture preached. And if you could hear those sermons on submitting yourselves to God and resisting the devil, how much have you heard on resisting the devil? How much have you heard about submitting yourself to God? Submitting yourself to God is a vital part of it. And we're going to talk about that next week. And it's going to help us. Amen. We are called to live a victorious life. Does that mean everything's going to go right for us? No. But we're going to live above our circumstances. We're going to be not overtaken by what hits us. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Worship team, come on up. Don't you love our worship team?
Yes.
Do you know, and my son's up here. With his head, he's got cool ass. Me. Yeah, our worship team, that means like our worship team gets here at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. And they're here every Wednesday night practicing. So I really super appreciate, that means it was like 7 o'clock, right, this morning. Because of the daylight savings time. And they're all like, amen. Yeah, go home and take a nap. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I want to go out on a victory thing this morning.
Yeah.
Why don't y'all do your first song that y'all did this morning? Let's go upbeat. I don't want to emote this morning. Sometimes it's good to emote. I want to go out victorious. Amen. Yeah. With God, who God's called us to be. I want us to walk out these doors and basically say, look out, devil, here I come. When I go to my job, look out, devil, here I come. I bring the kingdom of light everywhere I go. I push forward the kingdom of light everywhere I go. Whenever I walk into a room, the devil's, I'm not afeard. I need some sleep. I'm not worried about what devils are in that room. They need to be worried about what God just walked in this room. Because God lives on the inside of me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. Amen? Amen? All right, let's go out worshiping. And after they get through this song, if you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray for you. God bless you. Come back next week. It's going to be awesome.